My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
First Merchants Bank has your best interest at heart. And by best interest, we mean more than just our competitive rates.
We mean flexible account options for your every need.
And mortgage experts like me to help you buy your dream home.
Don't forget our attentive commercial bankers here to help your business thrive.
At First Merchants,
we know.
Your best interest is a bank that's interested in your success. Learn more at firstmerchants.com/switch. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, welcome to IKEA.
Can you turn back time? I'm sending my baby to college.
We don't do time travel, but we can make sure you find affordable, stylish options they'll love.
Aww.
Also visit our website to see how verified college students with an IKEA family account can receive a one-time use 15% off coupon.
Double
Offer ends September 30th, 2025. Valid ID required. Discount apply proportionally across items purchased as shown on receipt. See IKEA-USA.com/readyforcollege for complete terms.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
And welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, being joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, how's it hanging?
It's hanging long.
Okay. How you been?
I'm good. What about you?
You know, I haven't been felled by Lyme disease in the last 2 weeks, as we talked
That's
about last time.
So tremendous.
Good news for me. I haven't died. Just trying to stay cool in the hot summer we got going on here.
Yeah, look, today it's really nice by us, but I'm waiting for that to turn and be awful.
No, we've heated back up here, and after we record this, I have to go walk for 30 minutes somewhere, so I'm...
Oh, don't do that.
Not looking forward to that, but it is...
But you're in New York, so walking is the faster way.
Walking is often the faster way, that is correct. And I don't own a car, so...
And if you took, like, a Uber or something, it would take you an hour and a half and $70.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but what else is heating up, Kelly? You know what else is heating up?
Oh, Is it Joshi Pro Wrestling?
It's Joshi Pro Wrestling. Action is heating up. We have a lot to talk about, including what I'm going to just declare is a shocking Tokyo Joshi event. I think it's fair to call it shocking in many ways.
Yeah.
We have a match that Kelly will be talking about that I think he has some things he wants to get off his chest.
Also shocking, but in a completely different way.
And we have a lot to preview as we are on, I will call it, the precipice of the busiest time of the year in Joshi Wrestling as everyone decides to run a whole shitload of shows all at the same time.
Yep. It's that time.
It's that time of year. But before we begin, we, of course, have to get our plugs in. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mainbow. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's kick it off here with a little bit of incendiary talk from Kelly. And we are going to be talking about the Marigold July 16th Corican Hall show. Kelly, I didn't watch this because multiple people told me it was horrible. Yeah. So I turn it to you to say what you need to say.
Okay. So the Marigold main event was the double title, Marigold world title, GHC women's title match between Takumi Aroha and Utami Hayashida. So on paper, sounds awesome. Sounds great. Sounds like a match of the year contender. I was fired up about this match. It's bad. It's very bad. Goes to a double KO, a Rossi special. We get a draw at 56 minutes and 16 seconds. What the fuck? What? Just, if you're going to do a draw that long, just go to the fucking hour. Like, what do you, why, what's 4 more minutes of wasting my time? So this was just, it was bad. It was all around just a bad match. Just these two didn't have a good, they didn't have a good night here. It was just like really boring. It definitely felt like it was a draw in the beginning, like just moving at a snail's pace. Utami went after Aroha's leg very hard. Aroha sold that when she felt like it. Immediately after like getting her leg destroyed, it was time to walk up the steps in Kurikan to go fight in the crowd. Oh, and then her leg didn't work. You know, just that kind of stuff. Just the pacing was bad. I think if you were to take this match and edit it down and chop out about half an hour, you'd have a good time. But watching it as it was bad and disappointing, and I think a legitimate worst match of the year contender because of the talent involved and the amount of time it wasted. Like, just it really is just like Rossi at his worst here. Like, just do we need to keep doing draws? Like, dude. Your company is already just a shell of what your former company was. And now we're doing this. You're taking the one good thing, which is the Marvelous relationship, and putting it through the wood chipper of the most boring match imaginable. And then the referee is a freak. Like, I don't recognize this ref much. I know I've seen them before. But, like, this match in particular, I noticed them being weird. Like, there was a point when Aroha's leg, you know, she was on the outside complaining about it hurting. And the referee just grabs her leg and yanks on it as though he was like popping a shoulder back into place. And it's like, first, why are you doing that? That's you. If she was legitimately hurt, you would have just been making it far worse. That's not how legs work. And then later in the match, Utami was on the ground. It was in a submission, and they just grabbed Utami's head with their hands, like they were doing the Gordon Ramsay putting the bread to the sides of your head and making and calling you an idiot sandwich. It was very weird. It was just like distilling Daichi down to his absolute worst. I don't know what this person was doing, but it just put a little bit of like shit sauce on the shit Sunday that was this match.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I will say that John from Wrestling Omakase watched this first.
Yeah.
And they are generally, I would say generally higher on Marigold than either of us are.
By a wide margin.
And said it was absolutely horrible.
And then there was a point where I'm like, well, they typically like Marigold when I don't, so maybe I will like this. No.
Yeah. And then you said it was horrible and also 56 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, for my own sanity, let you take one for the team.
At some point, I decided, like, this is terrible, and I sped it up to 2x speed, and it still felt slow. Like, that was the craziest thing about it, where I was, like, bored, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm watching this match at double speed. How am I bored?
I will say currently on Cage Match, it is at 7.58, which good. Considering the people in it, I would say is very low. I think
it's going down, thankfully.
Yeah, when you have like two people who people like and are good, usually there is a like floor of these matches, and I feel like this is the floor.
Yeah. Because can I talk about Cage Match for a second?
Sure.
I'm going to insult a user. I don't remember their name. And I apologize if you listen to this show, but you're dumb. They rated this match a 10 in the Cage Match stuff. But then in their review, they gave a starred rating of 4.75. That is not 10. That is a 9.5, sir. You do not understand how math works, and you should not be rating things.
Wow. Kelly airing individual grudges now on.
Well, it's like, don't be throwing tens out when you don't think it is. Like, that's just playing the cage match numbers, which is the dumbest thing. Like, I hate that.
Yeah. Well, so I guess from Jumping Bomb Audio.
Dud.
Gets a what did we create last time? Not recommended.
Not recommended.
If you want to, I would say if you want another opinion, but it's going to be spoilers, the same opinion. You can listen to the next episode of Wrestling Omakase because I know John is going to talk about it.
Do you think Rossi's buddy is going to get Dave to watch this match and review it positively?
I do think it is one of those matches where Dave is going to put like 4.25 on it.
Yeah.
Like, be like, oh, it was interesting. Like that weird thing that Dave does.
Yeah.
Where he covers a match and he clearly doesn't really care about it, but he's just like, okay, 4.25.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's not going like 5.5. So you can't be like, what the hell? But it's just sort of like, I didn't see 3. Like now,
if you did say 3, people would be like, wow, Dave hates women.
Yeah. No, but like 4.25 is that perfect thing where no one can really get mad because the people who didn't like it are like, well, that doesn't really matter. And the people who liked it are like, well, he liked it enough. It's like the perfect middle ground now.
And then his buddy's like, you put him in the Hall of Fame now? And Dave's like, no.
But has it been getting any hype? Like,
I haven't seen any.
Because I feel like those are the matches Dave usually covers when it's like, Dave, you got to watch this match. And I don't know that anyone is going to Dave and saying like, oh, you got to watch.
Well, that's why I think it's going to be Rossi's buddy. What's his face? The one that's always talking about what a genius he is.
Well, yeah, but I just wonder if it's one recommendation, because it usually feels like it has to be like four or five people being like, Dave, you got to watch.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I will. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe we'll have next time to talk about a 6-star match from Dave for this.
Oh my God. It's just really more like, damn, I should just never watch Marigold. Because even when I'm excited for a match, they manage to fuck it up.
So that was Marigold. What else was happening in the last 2 weeks? Well, Tokyo Joshi had, I would say, a huge 2 weeks. Hard to disagree with that. First, in Japan, Yoshiko Hasegawa graduated, had her graduation show. She had a big 27-person battle royal, which turned into an Iron Man heavy metal weight contest that saw Shoko Nakajima come out with that title. But also on that show, important things, Moka Miyamoto and Himawari qualifying both for the Tokyo Princess Cup, which is coming up, as we'll talk about in the upcoming shows. Kelly, I think that was what we predicted last time. We were rooting for Kaya Toribami, but it seems clear that they're really trying with Moka.
Yep.
Between her title shot and this, so we will see. I also thought, you know, last time she sort of changed the gear, I was like, I think this is as good as it gets. But I can't help but thinking, she's got a title shot. Maybe she'll change the gear.
Maybe.
Put on a karate gi. I mean, if she came out in a karate gi for that title match, would you not be like, oh, shit?
Yeah, no, it would be like, wow, she's serious now.
Yeah. Be like, oh shit, it's about to happen. But we'll see. But both of them in the Tokyo Princess Cup. And as I said, we will talk about the first few matches of that tournament shortly. But the big news for Tokyo Joshi, they ran 3 shows in Texas around and about the All In, Y'all In, as it's sometimes called, for AEW. They ran 2 shows in Houston on the 10th and 11th at Post, which I don't know what it is now, but I know from commentary it used to be a post office.
Oh.
And is now a mall, question mark?
Okay.
I don't know. Supposedly, or at least it was announced, 415 fans for both shows, which was announced as a sellout. It certainly seemed pretty full. There were people standing on the stairs. It's an interesting looking venue.
I liked the stairs.
Yeah, it was like sort of like, oh, this is different than other, you know, things. So... yeah. The 2 shows. Now, Kelly, I know that you watched the 10th, the show on the 10th.
Yes.
Like, I thought both Houston shows, I thought the crowd was really great. It was clear that they were really into it. I thought the in-ring action was fairly blasé.
It was very house show.
There was a lot of leaning into the comedy. There was a lot of Bucky.
A lot of Bucky.
So that was interesting. A lot with the gacha machines. But it did feel very house show, where it was sort of like, hey, let's just go out, let's do our bits, and then let's get out of here. I'm not sure, from an in-ring perspective, I'd recommend anything. Kelly, I don't know on what you saw. If you'd like, I sort of liked Miyu and Maki.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was like blow away stuff.
It's a match like, you've seen before.
Yeah, and it's very, oh, these two people are in America. Like, it was also a weird match because I was like, these two people who are in America and wrestle each other a lot? Like, I guess you put it together and people are excited, but... yes. However, the show about is they then, on the 13th of July, did a show in Dallas, which was in front of an insane 2,540 fans, which commentary kept saying, oh, this is the most fans that they've had at a Tokyo Joshi United States show, but it is the most fans of any show in Tokyo Joshi history.
That's crazy.
Which I like, great for them. A super accomplishment. I will say, having watched the show looked really good. The crowd was really into it. It was a nice looking venue. Like they sort of had that like graphic bar in between the lower and the upper decks that a lot of modern arenas have, that they had the Tokyo Joshi logo on. That looked really good. They had screens with what match was on. The crowd was super loud. It was really great. It just seemed when these cards came out, I was sort of like, ah, these are just sort of road to type cards to me.
Yeah.
But I guess there were people who wanted some Tokyo Joshi still in Dallas. So great for them. And I thought, really, you know, I had watched the two Houston shows and thought, okay, this is going to be a little bit more of, you know, this sort of house show thing. But I thought, especially near the top of the card, they really put their working boots on and delivered some good matches. To me, I would recommend the top three, I think, are all very good matches, or at least very fun. The crowd is super into them. Miyu Watanabe defeating Shoko Nakajima. That actually currently on match, cage match, is at 8.85. I think that's a little high, probably. I would probably go like 4 or 4.25, but a very good match. Then they had Billy Starks and Yuka Sakazaki defeating Miyu Yamashita and Vert Vixen in a match.
The Vertigo Vixen?
The Vertigo Vixen, yes. She was there. This one, probably not 4 stars, but I'd go like 3.5. I thought it was fun. The crowd, again, the crowd was really into it. The crowd, I think, really helped all the matches because they clearly were there. They knew a lot of stuff. I thought the announcers, it was Veda Scott and Joe Dombrowski, did very well in that, you know, now Veda, I think, has done, what, 5 or 6 Tokyo Joshi shows?
Yeah.
And I thought Rich Dombrowski was good, but I thought they did a good job of not, like, I feel like with a lot of these Joshi promotions that come to the U.S., they're like, oh, we have this English commentary team. And they act clearly like people who are like, we don't really watch this promotion, but here's some information about them. Like, it felt like two people who knew about the promotion.
Let me vomit every fact I've found at you.
Yeah. You know, now that Veda has commentated on them a number of times, and I thought Joe Dombrowski.
Well, you got to figure good. Joe Dombrowski's called matches for a lot of them in MLW.
Yeah. And they talked about MLW because, of course, Shoko Nakajima, currently the featherweight. Is that what weight it
yes.
is? Or flyweight? Featherweight.
I
think it's featherweight.
I think it is.
But I thought they were very good. And then the main event, Mizuki defeating Maki Ito, also very good. I'd probably go close to 4 stars. You knew it was a real, like, they were really working because Maki came out and worked a real match as opposed to coming out and, like, doing all the bits that she would do on, like, a show where she's like, oh, I'm just here to have
any
fun.
Other American show.
Yeah. So really good. I would recommend checking it out. I mean, it's a fascinating show to watch with so many people in the crowd, and the crowd is really hyped up. It's so fascinating to me that, you know, they were talking about, oh, Summer Sun Princess is happening in a week, or, you know, 8 days or whatever it was. And I'm like, they're probably going to have more fans here than they do at Summer Sun Princess.
100%.
Which is just crazy. I'm like, I guess, unless someone else thinks of a reason, I don't know, maybe they gave away 1,000 tickets. I don't think they did. But just the idea of, like, on these big AEW weekends, no one else is running, so just run, and people are like, well, I'd like to watch more wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's the same thing as WrestleMania weekend, but it isn't so spread out and spread thin. So it's like, okay, well, I have one choice to make. Should I go to this one? I guess I will.
And it certainly seems to me, you know, I think the U.S. focus is always on Stardom, because that's sort of the mainstream, like, yes, that's Joshi and it's the best Joshi. But I'm like, you know, clearly people are willing to watch Tokyo Joshi. I'm like, Tony Khan, it wouldn't be a bad idea to not, you know, to use some of these people and not put them
in catering, you
know, in the dark match for 2 minutes, like Mizuki. But yeah, a show definitely worth checking out. The undercard, I think, is solid. You know, they have a Palm Harajuku Raku Hyper Misao match, which sort of does all the comedy on the show. You know, they bring the gacha machine back out. They had a couple of, obviously, Vert Vixen was on the show, as we mentioned, but Vert is sort of, like, she's been on a bunch of, she's been in Japan, she wrestles on a bunch of these U.S. shows. They had some new people on Houston. They had Kalia Capri, who I guess is from Reality of Wrestling. They had Alejandro Quintanilla. They had Maya World. I thought Maya World looked good. I thought the other two looked fine. Wasn't exactly. They seemed both pretty green. So wasn't blown away with either of them. But yeah, I would say if you've only got time for one show, it's obviously going to be Dallas. As I said, I don't think anything on either of the Houston shows is really worth checking out unless you want to see a great crowd and an interesting venue. What else happened? Sendai Girls just had a Korakuen Hall show that had some big matches on it. The first one being Venny and Aja Kong against who was it?
Bob Momo Banana.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. The returning to full power with Miyu coming back. That was a good match. Fun match, very quick. You know,
I described it as two mean giant women beating up two lovable scamps.
And Kelly, what else was on that show that just happened?
You had the semi-main, which was a hardcore match. Hazuki defeating Dash Chisako. This is a wild match. They really were like, you know what? We're going to jump off every ladder and go through every table. And they did it, and it was awesome. Hazuki looked like she was just having a blast with this match. Like, and there was times where you could see she was holding back, smiling so much. Like, it was very fun to watch. If this is what Hazuki's post-stardom run is going to be like, we're in for an awesome run. I went 4.25 on this. Definitely worth checking out. And very much looking forward to the follow-up match to this, which will be a hardcore tag with Dash Chisako and Aja Kong facing Hazuki and Risa Serra. Like, that'll be a ton of fun. And then in the main event, you had the tag titles up for grabs with Team 200 Kilograms defeating Red Energy to win the tag titles. Chihiro Hashimoto now has two belts along with her partner, Yu. Kind of what I thought would happen when we talked about it last episode, where it's Miki Iwata. You got to beat her. And she took the fall in this match. I mean, I guess it makes sense to give Yu a title run on the way out. but it does suck to see Red Energy lose here because I thought they were having a good run. Booking aside, very good match, really hard-fought battle, kind of war of attrition between the two. Hashimoto has just the scariest powerbomb. Just looks like everyone gets a concussion from it. And so it is a fitting finish to the match. Very good. I also went 4.25 on this one. So definitely worth checking out the top two. Actually, top three. Go with the Vaniaja versus Momo Banana match is also well worth watching, too.
All right. What else happened? Well, Catch the Wave continued in Pro Wrestling Wave. We haven't talked really any about it, but it's about to come to an end. And of course,
who's catching it the most?
I think a lot of people are catching.
Okay.
And then the other big show of the last two weeks was Seriism number 8, highlighted or main evented, I should say, by Seri and Takumi Iroha defeating Saya Kamatani and Natsuko Tora.
That's for you, Tim Dog.
Yep. Kelly, what'd you think of this match?
It proves my theory from my thesis from last week that Sari can drag a good match out of Tora. I enjoyed this quite a bit. I thought it was, it was just a fun brawl. Sari and Iroha are the heroes that Stardom needs to drive hate out forever. I kind of thought we'd get blood and was a little disappointed that we didn't. But overall, thought it was a great main event. I went 4.25. But at the same time, that means it's the weakest of any of the Sariism main events, which shows you how high the bar is for these shows. But it was better than I expected it to be. I do like that they're kind of setting up stuff in post-match angles now. Like, Sari's actually kind of booking stuff, which is cool.
I thought it was fine. I actually thought it was pretty good when it was one of Seri, Iroha, or Kamatani. Oh, this is pretty fun. Had the hate shenanigans. I'm like, just what everyone's been wanting from Seriism main events. Weird interference. I will say that when Momo came in with the bat and hit Tora, I was like, she is swinging for the fences. It was very loud, and I was like, damn. Just not, again, I hate these hate matches. I hate people running in. I hate people interfering. So I'm just like, I just want to see straight up battles. That's what most of the Seriism shows have been. Didn't get it here, sadly. So I thought it was fine. I would agree. I was not as high as you, but easily the weakest Seriism main event.
Let's do a cage match. Hate versus what looks to be Sarigun coming up with Chi-Chi and Miku coming to her aid. Let's go.
So that was everything in the last 2 weeks. What is coming up in the next 2 weeks? Well, let me tell you, there's a lot coming up in the next 2 weeks. Starting with tomorrow, Kelly, we are sort of in a weird spot here in that we are about to be previewing a lot of things that may have already happened by the time this show goes up. But what can you do?
What can you do? You can laugh at us for being wrong in our predictions.
Yeah, we will either immediately be wrong or right.
Yeah. So I believe tomorrow is a holiday in Japan, and that's why there's two big shows happening on a Monday.
Yes, there are a lot of shows happening. Will be interesting to see what attendance looks like for these shows running head to head. But the first one is Stardom's Sapporo World Rendezvous, again happening at this point tomorrow on the 21st. The card is as follows: the first match, Rion versus Emma Mashima. Then for the Future of Stardom Championship, it will be the champion Hina defending against Sayaka Carrara. Then there is a 5-star Grand Prix Blue Stars Block A. Say that five times fast. Qualifier. Yuri Ahime against Akira Kurigane. We talked about that last time. Then a 6-woman tag team match. The Neo Genesis trio of Azumi, Miyu Amasaki, and Mei Sierra will take on the Mi Vida Loca team of Suzu Suzuki, Rina Yamashita, and Bozilla.
Bozilla.
Then there will be a 4-way tag team match. Hazuki and Koguma versus Waka Tsukiyama and Hanako versus Lady C and Ami Sorei versus Aya Sakura and Yuna Mizumori. Then an 8-woman tag team match. The Stars group of Hanan, Saeeda, and Momo Kogo will team with Kikyo Furusawa against Natsuka Tora. Sorry. Against Natsuko Tora.
Nailed it.
Ruaka, Momo Watanabe, and Konami. Then the two big matches on the show, the Wonder of Stardom title on the line as Starlight Kid defends against Sayori Ano. And then the World of Stardom title, Saya Kamatani, the champion, defending against Natsupoi. Kelly, are there going to be any title changes on the show?
I am saying no. I think this card is kind of weak besides the top two, and really reminds me of the dying days of the Rossi run where they were running a million shows on pay-per-view and just had like a marquee match with a bunch of just like fluff before.
Yeah, it clearly is. It's very interesting to me to see the two title matches on top and then really nothing underneath.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, it must be a really big show. But then it's like, well, it isn't really a big show. I sort of understand not trying to have everyone kill themselves a week before they have to kill themselves doing the 5-star Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm. And with that, it's also like, then just don't do the show, you know? Yeah.
I don't know. I always think something about Starlight Kid. I'm like, do they really think that she's that? Like, could Sayori win the title?
That just one is definitely the most up in the air, for sure.
I'm like, I just don't know if I have any faith in. Although maybe they just saw, you know, the Sayori Natsupoi show draw well and were like, hey, let's try and duplicate that. And
that's what I'm thinking.
So I think should be a good show. I think probably the middle of the show will be pretty skippable because the Future of Stardom title, obviously that's a title match. And then the Grand Prix qualifier is actually has some importance in terms of things, obviously going forward with the 5-star Grand Prix. I just think the middle, unless something happens, you know, someone could debut again or something could happen or someone could switch teams, I guess. But just doesn't seem like really a lot there. Will be interesting to see Bozilla, but yeah. Then on the 24th they have a Korakuen Hall show. I don't believe anything's announced for that yet. I'm assuming they're waiting for to announce after the 21st. I'm imagining that will probably just be mainly a preview, like a 5-star Grand Prix preview show.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if it's just like a bunch of tags with one side of the block versus the other side of the block.
And then we go into the 5-star Grand Prix with shows on the 27th, the 30th, the 1st of August, and the 3rd of August. Actually, two shows on the 3rd of August, a day show and a night show. The 27th will have 16 5-star Grand Prix matches with matches from every block represented. They have been throwing them up on the Twitter so far. On the red side, B. Priestley facing Yuna Mizumori, Mei Sierra facing Waka Tsukiyama, Saya Kamatani against Lady C, Azusa Inaba versus Hanan. On the blue side, Hanako against Rani Yagami, Hina versus Suzu Suzuki, Momokogo. It's a battle of Momos. Momokogo versus Momo Watanabe. And Seri versus Konami. Kelly, anything sticking out to you there?
Honestly, no. Like, these matches are not like, oh, I gotta see this. Like, none of them are really inspiring to me.
I think Inaba against Hanan is actually the one where I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because the Sari Konami is going to be more of like, can Sari get a good match out of Konami, or is she just washed forever?
Yeah, so we will see, but there's going to be a lot of action to cover next time in the 5-Star Grand Prix as that kicks off. In Seedling, they have a show on the 26th. Not a big show, not a lot of big matches happening. And Natsuka Tora and Ruaka will be appearing on that show, terrorizing now not only Stardom, but all of Joshi Wrestling.
Yeah, stop that.
Then, of course, as we talked about earlier, Tokyo Joshi also on July 21st has Summer Sun Princess. The card there is as follows. Himawari will team with Ren Konatsu to face Shino Suzuki and Uta Takami. Andreza Giant Panda will team with Raku to face off against Kyoko Inoue and Palm Harajuku in a very strange match to me.
Fire Pro random button.
Yunamanase, Mahiro Kiryu, Kaya Torabami, and Chika Nanase will face off against Wakana Uehara, Toga, Mifu Ishida, and Kira Summer in the sort of get everyone on the card match there. Then we sort of get more to the business end of things. A three-way tag. Yuki Kamifuku will team once again with Veni, facing off against Yuki Aino and Haru Kazushiro. And also Ariso Endo and Jada Stone back again. That, to me, is an interesting... There's a lot of interesting things in this match. Jada Stone, who I've liked, and also Haru really getting up the card here.
Yes. Also, sorry, Haru, you're taking the pin.
Yes. Maybe only up the card to take the pin, but very interesting. And I have liked the Yuki Veni team.
Mm-hmm.
That only really seems to tag on these shows, type of shows. But happy to see that. Then we really kick it up a notch as Maki Ito will team with El Desperado to face Chris Brooks and Emi Sakura. I'm really looking forward to this match.
This is my most anticipated match on the card by a mile. Like, this sounds awesome.
I'm like, Maki, just don't do comedy. Don't do comedy, please.
Just play it straight. We got Emi Sakura back in Tokyo Joshi. We got Chris Brooks. We got El Desperado. Like, just, it has all the ingredients to be awesome.
The face-off the people have demanded, Emi Sakura and El Desperado.
Yes.
Then there will be a special single match. Miyu Yamashita will face Billy Starks, returning once again to Japan. And then we have all three of the titles being defended. The International Princess title will see Suzume defend against Moka Miyamoto. The Princess Tag Team titles, Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Masao, will defend against Rika Tatsumi and Miyu Watanabe. And the main event, Mizuki, the Princess of Princess Champion, will defend against Yuki Arai. I have to say, looking at this card, I am certain that the tag team match will be good.
Yes, absolutely.
That is a check. I think probably Miyu and Billy will be fun. I think it being fourth from the top, they might not go too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I really have questions about the International Princess title and the Princess of Princess title match.
Those are two matches that have the potential to be not good, and I would not have booked them on the same show.
It's a weird thing where usually I look at these cards and I'm like, okay, this will be good, you know, I'll enjoy the show. I could see really either way in 2 weeks coming back to the show and being like, this show rocked. Like, it was really good. Like, Suzume gets a great match out of Mocha and Yuki Arai has a good match against Mizuki. Coming in and being like, it was great because the tag title match will be good. I'm sure I'll like the special tag. The undercard will be what it usually is. But for a change, and something I don't usually say, is I could see me coming in here and being like, this show was not good.
Yeah.
Because Maki could do a bunch of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Miyu against Billy could be 8 minutes long.
Yep.
And
it
then,
could be America Yamashita showing yes. up and phoning it in.
And then the two singles title matches could be like 3.25 stars.
Yeah.
You know, I very much like Suzume, so this is not anything against her. I have much more faith in Mizuki dragging out a great match out of anyone.
Yes.
Than I would of Suzume. I mean, she's more experienced. You know, I think Suzume is very good. There's just something, I mean, we've talked about it now so much on this show. There's just something about Yuki Arai that, to me, I don't know, maybe I don't have the ear to the ground in Japan. I'm like, is she a red hot challenger in this company?
I have never gotten that impression.
Because my thing also is, I think she may win.
I am very afraid that she'll win.
And I just don't think, you know, I talked about the Houston show. And the first Houston show, Yuki Arai faced off against Kalia Capri. You know, I said Capri seems younger, like doesn't quite have it all together yet. But like that match sort of ended and I was like, oh, I would like to see Capri against someone who's a little bit more experienced.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Yuki is still not there where it's like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to lead this match and we're going to do it. And it's going to be like a floor, like 3 stars. Like, who do I trust to do that? Mizuki, Miyu, both Miyus,
yeah.
Rika, like Suzume. I trust. Like the Mocha match, I may go and be like, okay, it was 3.5 stars. It's not going to go out and be like, oh, that was like 2 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Suzume is going to work really hard. I'm sure Mocha is going to work really hard. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with Yuki. And if she wins, I'm like, it's going to be Yuki having to wrestle. Like, it's going to have to be Miyu. The Miyus. It's going to have to be Rika. Like, it can't be Yuki and, I don't know, like, Yuki Kamifuku.
Yeah, I just, and honestly, if she does win, if I'm Mizuki, I see that as a slap in the face for how hard she had to work to get to the title, and then Yuki Arai. Is this her first shot?
I think so. So let me check.
Yeah, like just with how conservative the Tokyo Joshi booking is, if she wins, it feels extremely undeserved.
So, it is her first Princess of Princess title opportunity.
Yeah, I am very concerned that she is going to come out of this champion, and I do not care for that, for the direction for Tokyo Joshi.
Yeah, I also think it's an interesting thing because for so many months and years, we talked about like, they won't give any of these, like Miyu, Watanabe, they won't give a chance. Like Mizuki had it and then immediately, you know, was like in and out. And now I'm like, okay, now they're giving it to this generation, but it's like Miyu wins it and then she loses, you know, she loses it. And by the way, she got pinned in Houston, which I was like, that's really bizarre.
Yeah.
That's really bizarre to me that she's getting, like, she has a title match, first of all, and just very odd to me. I don't know. This is the most, and I'm like, what does this card draw? Where are they running? I don't even know where they're running. I always lose track of where,
like, it almost feels like they should have just called an audible and put what they could from this card onto the Dallas show and been like, fuck it, this is gonna be the bigger show.
Let's see. Oh, Jada Stone is gonna be on English commentary. That's
I think they announced like five wrestlers for English
they
commentary.
They did, because English commentary, Balianaki, Mr. Haku, Yuki Kamifuku, Kira Summer, and Jada Stone.
I thought I saw more, too.
Oh, really?
I think so. Like, I remember seeing the list and being like, so we're going to get a different wrestler every match, almost.
None of this will tell me where... Ooh, none of this will tell me where is the show taking place? Anyway, but I'm like, they had, you know, the drawing has sort of gone down on these big shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I'm concerned that it's like, oh, they drew 700 people. And then it's like, oof. Just to me, it's like the thing where I'm missing the thing where I'm like, okay, Yuki, she's not super in ring. But if it was like, boy, every time they put her in a main event, the numbers go way up. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, well, you know.
Oh, it's in the Oda City Central or Oda City Gymnasium.
Okay. But you, if it was like, whoa, every time she main events, you know, the numbers go way up, I'd be like, okay. You know, that's fine. Okay, so the main arena is like 4,000.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting that.
But there just hasn't been the thing where I'm like, they, I think, clearly think that she has some effect that I'm not seeing.
Yeah.
You know, they've been putting her on Korakins in big spots for a while, and it's like the Korakin numbers have gone down. It just doesn't seem to me like the thing they think she is what she is.
It feels like they're being blinded by her being in the C-League idol stuff.
But now she isn't anymore.
I know.
She isn't even in that.
It's like they're working themselves into thinking it's actually matters.
So we will see. I mean, a very interesting... I mean, we'll see what happens again. I'm like, I could eat my words and be like, holy moly, what a great show again from Tokyo Joshi. I mean, I can't think of one of these big shows where I've been like, that was bad.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, so this is the venue they ran Grand Princess in this year, and they drew 1,212 people that time.
Okay. What did they draw? What of the summer, I guess?
Well, oh, and this is also the venue where Poi and Saori ran their produce, where they drew 2,800.
I see. Now,
so there are there's Joshi fans that'll come to these shows.
Yeah. And I mean, they're also competing against a big Stardom show.
Yeah.
Is the other thing that we haven't really talked about. Okay. Summer Sun Princess 22 drew 1,130 fans at Oda City. 23 drew 1,222 also at Oda City. Nope, that's 24 drew 873, but that was at Korakin. That was that time when they were like, ah, oh, we're moving it to Korakin this
yes,
year.
Yes,
I think because
yes.
The building wasn't available or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. So that number doesn't really count, but I mean, really the bar is 1,200, I would say.
Yeah, and looking at every show that's been in this venue so far, Grand Princess is the lowest drawing of them.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, look, if it comes out and the show draws 2,500 people with Yuki Arai on top, then I guess I was wrong.
Yeah.
But again, she's been with the company this long, and to my knowledge, there hasn't been a show where the number, you know, it's been like, whoa, she's a big draw.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But we'll be interesting. But that's not all happening in Tokyo Joshi, because they have the Tokyo Princess Cup starting Also, on July 27th, they will have four first-round matches. Raku facing off against Miyu Watanabe. Moka Miyamoto facing off against Miyu Yamashita. Mizuki facing off against Yuki Aino. And Suzume facing Wakana Uehara. Kelly, should I make a bold prediction right now?
I would love it if you would.
I'm going to make a very... this is going to be very bold. I think Moka Miyamoto beats Suzume to win the International Princess title. And then she beats Miyu somehow. Because Miyu, really gonna Miyu make always a star? Goes out very early. Like, has these weird banana peel, like, whoops, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, if they're behind Moka and they're like, we got to figure out what we have here, might as well go all the way and do something.
Yeah.
You know, unless I guess she loses. Because then the opposite is she, because if she wins the title, you don't want her then losing her very next match. That seems weird to me. I know it would be to Miyu, but the other thing would be she loses the title match and then gets demolished by Miyu Yamashita.
Or she could lose the title match and then get the win over Miyu to get her heat back.
Yeah, I just don't know where it would be like, but then what? I don't know. Why?
Well, because Miyu's got to go work GCW or something.
Yes. I mean, yeah, for that.
Miyu's got to go to the gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah, she's got to watch. What did they announce yesterday? Great Sasuke versus Caleb Conley.
Yeah, something like that.
The weirdest match I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
Anyway, then on August 2nd, some more first-round action. Himawari will face Haru Kazushiro, Arisu Endo against Hyper Masao, Shoko Nakajima against Rika Tatsumi, and Yuki Kamifuku against Yuki Arai. Again, this is the one tournament that's happening that is single elimination.
Thank God.
And we're all happy for it. What else is happening? Well, Marigold on August 2nd, the Dream Star Grand Prix will start. So we'll have three tournaments happening all at the same time. Kelly, get into it.
No, please don't.
Kelly, get into it.
No, no, Rossi, shut down.
And also the Catch the Wave finals will be happening. Not writing anything about it because I would like to watch some of it and I haven't watched any of it. So I'm keeping myself spoiler free from what is happening. But that is all the action coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. Kelly, what do you have for us this week?
I'm almost knocking over my microphone stand.
I thought I heard a bong in the, and I was like, what?
Bong. It's yeah, it's the gong. It's the end show. Show gong. Yeah, yeah, that's my new gimmick. Let's see. Did you you see the Superman movie?
I did see Superman. Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. Filmed in my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. So,
wow.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Played a lot of hey, I know that place while I was watching, but yeah, I also enjoyed it.
Is that where the Fortress of Solitude is?
No, the Fortress of Solitude is not in Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, very enjoyable film.
Yeah, the very much just the comic movie that mostly captured like the feeling of reading a comic book to me in a while, where it's just like, hey, you know the deal. You know who this dude is. He's going to go on an adventure. Keep up. And it's like, yeah, that's what we should be doing.
But I do have something to say, and it's related to Superman, but it is not about Superman.
Okay.
Kelly, I don't know, when you saw the movie, did you get a trailer for the new Cat in the Hat movie?
I did.
That movie looks to me like one of the worst movies ever made.
It looks like they took the Cat in the Hat and was just like, all right, what if we give it kind of the premise of the world of the monsters and Monsters, Inc.?
But like,
but also
it's
there's
so
a multiverse,
weird.
I think?
Yes, he works at a business. They're like, he's got a job. The animation looks bad. That was the first thing I noticed, where I was like, ooh, this looks terrible. But then they're doing all these weird, like, stupid jokes. Like, I know it's for children, but jokes that where I'm even like, what? Like, he shows up at the kid's house and they pepper spray him. And he's like, oh, my eyes are burning. Ah. I'm like, this is what we're doing. Like, why? Why are we doing this? Yes, but it's going to kick off the Seussaverse.
Yeah.
Which is going to be followed by a Thing 1 and Thing 2 movie and then Oh, the Places You'll Go.
I don't think either of those movies are coming out.
Well, it's also revealed in the trailer that there are hundreds of things or something.
I guess.
Anyway, I immediately turned against. There's a long, drawn-out part where they keep saying toot fart.
Yes, they did do that bit over and over.
Over and over again. So I just hated it. And
yeah, that was bad.
I hated it.
What are your thoughts on the Naked? Did you get the Naked Gun trailer?
I did get the Naked Gun trailer. You know, I am a fan of Naked Gun, but also Police Squad, which was the TV show that they did before Naked Gun that got canceled after 6 episodes, which is very good. If you've never seen it, I think it's still on YouTube. And again, it's only 6 20-minute episodes.
I didn't even know that that was a thing.
Yeah, and it's Leslie Nielsen, and it's very fun. They essentially, the show got canceled because everyone was like, this is weird. And they were like, well, we'll just take this and make it into a movie. And then the movie became Naked Gun. So I am going to go see it, but it's one of those things where I'm very nervous, because the thing I'm nervous about is I'm like, that humor is so specific.
Yes.
To like, this is a airplane, you know, Zaz airplane, top secret, Naked Gun type humor, and I'm very nervous it's going to become like a modern, like, SNL humor.
Yes.
Movie.
Like, the trailer didn't make me laugh once.
I like the part where they're all praying to their dads. And then the guy's praying to OJ Simpson. Like, that I was like, okay. But, like, the humor is not modern humor. Like, it's very, I don't know how I would describe it, but it isn't like the way modern humor works. So that's
no, it's not how, yeah, it's not how modern comedy movies are structured at all.
Like, I'm like, could this be a funny movie? It could be a funny movie. I have a feeling it's not going to be a funny movie in the way that the Naked Gun movies were originally funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, you know, or like the airplane movies, like, oh, we have to get this person to a hospital. A hospital, what is it? You know, a big building with people in it. Like, that just seems like a thing where they're not going to do, and they're going to be like, oh, the joke is that, you know, like in the trailer, he's stopping the bank robbery, and like the joke is that he throws a lollipop and kills a guy.
Yeah, that's not.
Like, that was not that is not the humor of the Naked Gun.
No. Like, in all honesty, I have far more confidence in whatever the new Spaceballs movie is going to be.
Well, and help that it's being, I mean, quote unquote, at least in some way worked on by Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
I don't know at 99 how much he's doing, but he's at least involved in a way that, like, I don't think anyone from the original Naked Gun is involved.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Where I'm just like, oh, it will be funny. You know, I get using Liam Neeson because it's sort of like, again, using someone who's known for serious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little bit off because I think you would use someone who's known for like doing dramas, and Liam Neeson already sort of is a parody of himself with like the Taken stuff.
At this point now, yeah. But it was probably between him and Pete Davidson.
That's true. So we'll see. I'll go see it. But I'm like, it might not be any good. If it's not any good, I'll just come home and watch the TV show and the movies again. And
there you go.
So, but that is all for us on this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. So we will talk to you in 2 weeks' time. Until then, I am Taylor for Kelly saying so long.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.